Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Wednesday and it's 5 o'clock. And if it's Wednesday and it's 5 o'clock and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, then you are listening to me, Phil Colicchio, and the show called The Business of the Business, the show that explores the business side of the hospitality industry. And we air every Wednesday, 5 o'clock. If you miss us live, you can always catch us as a podcast on iTunes, or you can go to the very interesting, brand spanking new HeritageRadioNetwork.org website. Check us out and listen to any one of our archived shows. Just go to the Business of the Business icon, click on there, and you can listen to one of any 30 brilliantly interesting shows that
are my
guests...
ever going to stop talking about yourself? Jesus
You know what? These guys won't leave. I'm going to have to interview them for the second half of the Big Gay Ice Cream interview.
You make it sound like Ken Burns. Or something. Big Heart 12.
That's
it's Big
right.
Gay Fun Time Happy Hour.
Brian.
The second half.
We're only missing Don
brought
Cornelius. If only Don Cornelius were here.
Brought
to give
you
us
by Rolaids.
Brian.
No, Lactaid.
Brian Petroff and Doug Quint, a couple of ice cream heroes, a couple of hospitality geniuses who didn't know they were geniuses until a bunch of Twitter followers told them they were. Now they are an iconic brand, not just in the Northeast, but in the United States. They have two stores, locations right now in New York City. They still have the occasional ice cream truck visit. They do visits to Los Angeles once or twice a year. And
we did two L.A. trips last year, and we did a San Francisco
one. And you know what? How about a business vignette about what happens when you're not careful when you rent a truck?
That shifty motherfucker. I just went into this today with the people who run Kogi Barbecue Truck in Los Angeles.
It's a real business story. It's an anecdote that I think is really important because it shows what can happen if you trust somebody who's not trustworthy.
Well, we didn't trust him, but we... No.
Tell the story. It's a great story.
Well, in order to do our pop-ups in Los Angeles, since we actually don't own our New York truck, we couldn't bring it out there. So we rented a local... soft serve truck.
We found a guy who has a soft serve truck. We went out and checked it out to make sure the machinery would be good. And then we said, can we buy your truck out for, you know, 7 days in a row? And
so we did.
We'll do our thing on your truck.
Yeah.
So what we worked out of two different kitchens, two different restaurants in LA, Duff's Cake Mix and Son of a Gun.
And you've got a real following out there. I mean, it's not an inconsequential following. You got people that...
No, we were really taken aback by the amount of people that showed up. We parked at about three spots a day, unlike New York, where we just stayed put. We wanted to make sure we were kind of moving around as much as we could and collaborating with the people who are our friends. And that's why we, you know, once we parked in front of Animal and stuff like
Susan
that.
Susan Fenniger. Right. And
Fenniger,
blah,
yeah.
Blah, blah.
So we rented this truck. We had it wrapped.
A full vinyl wrap job, you know.
Yeah.
So it was
cost
really,
$3,000, by the way.
It was really flashy looking.
And it put,
just
and
for the wrap.
That wrap was so busy, and there was so much going on that it could probably cause seizures.
And there was no question when somebody saw you guys in that wrapped truck that they knew they were dealing with big gay ice cream.
Right.
Well, it had our logo repeated ad nauseum all over it, and unicorns surfing and all sorts of stuff.
Very Cali.
So yeah, we rented his truck, wrapped it, and basically then we had free run of it. So this last time that we did that, we were in LA. We drove the truck up to San Francisco for a couple of days.
We were doing stuff up there, and then our employee Jen, she drove it back. We had to move on to Alex's lemonade stand in Philly.
So she drove it to LA and dropped it back off with him and said adios.
With the assumption, as we agreed upon, that the wrap would come off on a specific date.
And he'd go back to work.
And then he would have it back again. Then, about a week later, or no,
it was we were in New York, and I look on Twitter and I saw, I just saw your truck at a gas station in Culver City.
So the first time we didn't think anything of it.
Yeah, I thought, he must be gassing it up while he's taking it to get it unwrapped.
Yeah.
Then I heard your truck was outside our office building, but we just missed you, and I got a little bit more suspicious. And then I got a tweet on our group Facebook wall.
Message.
It was neat to have your truck at our office party, but too bad you didn't do any of your normal cones. So
the guy who worked the truck was surly or something like that.
So that was at the point where I knew something shifty was going on. And I called him and he said, well, yeah, we just couldn't get the wrap off in time. And of course you got to work, I got to work. And anyway, it's good PR for you guys. Your truck's on the road more. And that's when you sent him a cease and desist letter, Phil. And he wrote back, blow me.
It really was one of the classic responses I've ever gotten.
That's why we've decided, we basically, right that day, said, okay, we need to buy our own truck in L.A. and crush him.
Yeah, yes. He made a mistake. He made quite a mistake. He screwed
He's former
he
NYPD, screwed, too.
Well, I mean, he must have had some battle fatigue because the guy was so
epic,
out of line.
Epic douchebag.
He stole. I mean, he was a thief. And, I hope if he hears this, I hope he knows he can blow me. The opportunity, right, exactly. There you go.
Phil lays it down. Phil whips it out and lays it down.
Should we, full disclosure, let the world know you are our lawyer? So
it happened. It's
everyone's
true.
Lawyer. Jesus okay. Christ.
It happened. It's true. Yeah. Sure, you can say his name.
Okay.
Look, it's your choice. I don't think it's worthwhile, frankly, him a moment.
I'm saying let the listeners know that we are talking about you in this story, so we are letting them know that you are legal representation.
Yes, it wasn't just some whim that Phil sent him a cease and desist letter. It was at our request.
Taylor Colicchio and Studholm, LL.
What a great firm. Hire them for your office parties.
We do quite a bit of work in the hospitality industry, and we are honored and privileged to represent the Big Gay Ice Cream truck and its two incredibly successful founders. All right.
What about Pretty?
You got the JFK thing. It's still wigging me out. I got to get past it.
You don't mean
it. I got to get past it. Tell me about how you do your public relations. A lot of groups who get into the hospitality industry go out and they hire big PR firms. There are some really great public relations firms in town that work with restaurants.
People
and
ask
chefs.
Us quite frequently who our PR company is,
and we say it's us. I have to say I don't understand how some restaurants or some people make any money. It's all going to third-party representation, PR firms, marketing.
Right.
Lawyers.
I'm doing my best to break you, yes. But
So it's really, we had absolutely no interest, first of all, and we realized that over time we really didn't need that kind of representation.
Well, you had a knack. You developed a knack for appropriate self-promotion.
I think Brian
is
really good at deciding what should be divulged and when, and I'm good at disseminating it.
I mean, communications is my background.
Yeah, talk about that.
I spent about 15 or so years doing corporate training and communications for retail companies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was doing up until the time when we signed the lease on the first shop. So even through the first three summers,
right,
I was still doing all of that. And then I decided this was the leap. So I right, quit that and then became my own boss.
Well, you've got a talent for the type of understanding the information that has to get out.
Well, we realize...
I mean, do you confer on it? Do you really sit down and say, all right, hey, Doug, it's time to let people know about this?
He does not tell me, or he does not ask me, like, what Caturday photo should I choose or something like that. But when it comes to announcing, you know, changes in our business and stuff like that, or major milestones, we do discuss those.
Mm-hmm.
Our tendency is to not release any information until we know it won't change.
Yeah.
Because in this industry, we realized it is always prone to change.
Plus, this idea that you would, you know, find a storefront and think you're about to sign a lease and you're already announcing that you're going to open there. God knows, a million things can go wrong. We don't announce that stuff until, you know, all the appliances are plugged in and working. And then we say, hey, look, we're opening in Topeka.
I mean, think about it, because other people are announcing all of their pseudo successes and almost failures, and a lot of that. Like, what is better?
I mean, it's one of the very, very, you know, it's one of the most controversial things about social media is that, you know, there's just more information than anybody really needs.
I would rather release a few key, important, and firm and positive announcements than a multitude that just blur into the ether.
Doug, how do you feel about that?
Turned on.
Right.
No, it's true. God, just say nothing. Sometimes.
And we're private people too, so we're not. Yeah. It's not in our nature to always be talking about things to other people. And I mean, I come from the corporate life and I was in HR, so you never said anything.
Right.
But I came from being on a stage and playing in front of people and, you know, oversharing my life that way. So
we met somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, you still put out plenty of...
I put out, you're right.
You do, and you do it well.
But what we realized, and I think we were very fortunate in this, is that press came to us. We didn't have to seek it out, and I will always say that we are very lucky that became the case.
And real estate has come to you,
yes,
as well.
We didn't have to do a lot of getting our name out there, mm-hmm. and I think just the name itself and the logo itself was enough of a catalyst to push us over that edge of not need. We've actually sat on panels and discussed the merits of PR and whether or not companies should have PR. And so it's kind of funny. And even the PR head who was moderating the panel agreed that...
I'd love to represent these guys, but they do it really well on
their own. Yeah, it's not for every business. It's not for every person, that's for sure. There are certainly... There's certainly rationale in crowded marketplaces, you know, to get some strategies to distinguish yourself.
If it were a project that you had no time to handle, you know, multiple books or something like that, fine, but not for our little...
Hey, stores. You have a book that's on its way.
I was working on the copy edits today.
Can you talk about it?
Sure. It's a Big Gay Ice Cream book, but it's still a year and more away. So we're in the middle of shooting it.
We'll wait.
Yeah,
a book takes a long damn time to do right.
Yeah.
And our book just do videos.
Oh, I've shot a lot of videos late night. We're putting a lot of wacky stuff in this book, and you know, there's contributions from really, really top notch people.
It is a cookbook first and foremost. We're not writing like a memoir or something like that. We're doing
it. What is it with all these people putting out first books as memoirs?
I think on the cookbook side anyway. I think it gives a little more context to what is often in the first book of recipes. I kind of like it, but I, you know, look, your friend Mr. Bourdain you know, really
no
created.
Friend of mine. That wasn't his first book, though. He wrote all those shitty, well, sorry, they're great detective, what are they, like detective, you know, detective judo novels. They're weird, man.
No, but, you know, listen, he actually, you know, you credit him with really creating a genre for the, you know, for the industry anyway.
At the time Kitchen Confidential came out, I was living with a guy who got it the day it came out. And I said, what are you reading? And he said, oh, it's a memoir by a New York City chef. And he really tells the, you know, the dirty scoop. And I thought, God, how boring.
Yeah.
No way. The only TV food show I ever watched at that point was Two Fat Ladies, you know, and that was enough. And it's really funny to then, you know, about 5 years ago, I thought, you know what, I should really read Kitchen Confidential. And it actually learned a lot from it. And I saw a lot of what was going on in the ice cream truck thing that I was trying with basically mafioso stuff I was dealing with.
Right.
It was all stuff that Tony had written about, you know, 15 years before and that he'd been dealing with the whole time. So it made me feel like, okay, I'm clued into all this. It's universal.
You know, it's look, the book was incredibly entertaining. There's no question about it. It, you know, it helped spike more interest, of course, in the, you know, in the industry itself. And, you know, obviously the man's life has changed, and he's changed a lot of other people's lives. There are moments when I think I see too much of him, you know. But when you evaluate it, the guy gets to do what he likes to do, you know. And he's always interesting.
Yeah,
Tony is.
But this is about you guys.
Sorry. Yeah.
Well, so getting back to
I just gotta say, the dude is really fucking smart, and he's got a memory that's really disturbing. You know, the guy. He can remember where he scored, you know, $60 worth of dope in 1982 and what he had to hawk to get it. I don't remember what happened a week ago, and I wasn't on heroin a week ago.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a gift. I think there are some of those some things
curse,
you
right.
Yeah, some of those things you don't want to remember,
okay.
I think.
Well, our book is, I think it mirrors our business. Our business at its core is quality ice cream. The book at its core is quality recipes.
Right.
It's just wrapped around irreverence and weirdness and so I think what we've been spending a long time with and why the book is taking a long time is getting that on the page.
Yeah.
And how do we turn this kind of
And you have to do it in more than 140 characters,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, like this weekend we're meeting with the person who's doing the comic book insert, you know. So there you go.
Are you going to be superheroes, or are you going to?
You're not telling any more than that. Yeah. But sure. And also, I got to tell you, you if you want to make a good book, you end up spending a lot of the advance on all the features you want to put in it.
Well, and the liquor, you know. You know, I've seen your book parties. So I have
But I will say also, sorry, just quickly.
Okay. You will say it, Phil. So just sit back.
We're very fortunate that this is the book that we wanted to make.
Yeah.
Unlike we've heard. Going into the book, we heard a lot of horror stories from friends of ours who were really disappointed with how their book turned out, and it was really strange to me, like how little control so many people have when they sign a book contract or book deal with a publisher, and how little decision making power they have. And,
well, most people are stepping into someone else's expertise in that moment,
yeah.
Right?
Most cookbooks are all the same. Most cookbooks are the same format, and most cookbooks have the same cover, and we wanted to do something weird. Yeah.
We look at any venture we take as not being a make or break situation. That, you know, we don't have to do a TV show. We don't have to do a book.
We're very good at saying no.
So
it's a learned skill.
So if it's not what we want, we'll just walk from it. We don't care.
Yeah.
And when the right one comes along, the right one will come along. And, you know, we don't have a timeline. We don't have a business plan. We're not on any trajectory. So,
but you have made some strategic decisions, though,
sure.
Right, about growth. I mean, like real, you know, grown-up business decisions about how you want to grow and where you want to grow.
We've turned down a lot of opportunities just because we needed to control things and
right.
Not let them. We don't want to open up a store and leave 6 days later to open the next one and have things go to hell.
Yeah. We say we only grow as big as our brains can actually process what is going on in our lives.
What kind of assistance have you sought or are you going to seek with operations? I mean, if you get one you know, you get one store, you can handle it. You get mm-hmm. two, and they're pretty close yeah. together.
And here's the thing. We are a very lean company. We have very few employees. It's really Doug and me making the bulk of the decisions, mm-hmm. like 99% of them. Mm-hmm. And it's only been this year that we've hired corporate employees or people who are doing things that aren't related to running the stores. So we have an office manager to just keep our lives in check because, right. We're always on the verge of spiraling out of control.
Right.
You know, we hired a catering manager who now handles catering, a kitchen manager.
How much because of your business? How much of your business is catering? Catering is traditionally a high profit margin business hospitality.
When we were able to utilize an ice cream truck, which we will be again because we're buying our own, we did a lot of events with the truck, and we've just bought a cart to do things like that too. But really, the new catering packages need to be developed, so we've hired this guy to start putting together packages that we're going to pitch. Yeah.
I don't know of any other multi-store business that runs with as few people as we do, and I don't know if that's good or bad.
I was going to ask, do you think you can sustain it, or does that...
No, because I'll shoot myself. But the scariest
shoot me.
The scariest thing for me,
he'll have to get in line, right?
The scariest thing for me in recent years was quitting my job, and what that meant. I was walking away from what I knew into the void.
Sure,
and it was scary as hell, and I had a lot of panic attacks and freakouts, and
sure did.
Was I making the right decision? Well, it was scary for me to leave, you know, a cushy, well-paying job. But I also don't save money, so I didn't have anything to fall back right. on. And I didn't want it to fail, so I didn't want to have to come back to the company, you know, 3 months later or something.
You know,
like
there,
that,
there's so. the adage that you're either successful because you want to succeed or because you're afraid to fail, you know. And, you know, look, we've all seen failure. And it's you know, it's not pretty, but you did take that leap, and you know, I mean, this is a real sort of a generic question, but that leap isn't for everybody, is it? I mean, you had friends who said, "I'm doing that. You've inspired me. I'm doing it."
Yeah,
yeah. It was I gotta say, it was part midlife crisis, you know.
Instead of a convertible,
but you're only about 22.
Yeah, something like that. My thighs aren't even 22 inches. So for me, you know, a lot of the issues I had with my own freelance and music career were, you know, I needed to go in deep therapy to really get some of that out of the way because there was a lot of self-sabotage going on. Or it was really more like in the middle of an audition for the LA Philharmonic, I would think, I'm playing Marriage of Figaro, and suddenly I think, boy, I don't know if I could live in LA. And then I'd, you know, drop a note. So it was constant little things like that. So when we started the ice cream truck, we just wanted to do it, and we wanted to do it our way and didn't care if, you know, it crashed and burned or was a big success. I mean, in a way, we really figured that it would be a colossal failure and such a funny story that forever we'd be talking about that time that we actually thought we were going to manage to have an ice cream truck. So we said, screw it, let's do it. And it worked. Weird.
Well, I'm going to say screw it. Let's take a little break.
Screw you.
We're going to take a little bit of break with the Big Gay Ice Cream guys, Brian Petroff and Doug Quint. We'll be back after a short word from our sponsor here on the Business of the Business. Phil Colicchio on the Heritage Radio Network. So what you wanna do? I'm standing right in front of you like a broken tool. Just tell me what your name, where you come from, where you go away. You're listening to Summer Jam by Cookies here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Washed rind cheeses are a fairly recent addition to the repertoires of artisanal cheesemakers in the United States. These cheeses tend to be stinkier than other types and are often high on the list of connoisseurs. Now, Whole Foods Market has come up with one of their own. The raw cow's milk cheese made by Sprout Creek Farm in Poughkeepsie, New York, is washed with 6-point ale from Bread Hook, Brooklyn. The beige sticky rind deepens in color as it ages. The satiny ivory cheese within is mellow with a sweetly tangy bite and a grassy aroma. The current version features 6-point diesel, which is in limited supply, so stop by and pick up some before it's gone. And Point of Origin cheese is sold exclusively at Whole Foods Market in New York, Northern New Jersey, and Connecticut. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Hey, we're back.
Hey.
Hey, I had to wake you.
Hey, Phil.
Hey. We're back. We're back. We're back with the business of the business here on the Heritage Radio Network, although that background music won't seem to go away, will it? Hey, we do this. Phase. We do this every Wednesday at Roberta's in Bushwick, and tonight we're treated with a large group of folks eating pizza outside the studio.
And none of them know we're talking about them right they now. We're...
Look at her. God, what a pig.
Look at her
that's,
hair.
That's ugh. Tough. That's very tough. There's lovely people out here at Roberta's, that's for sure. So, guys.
We got any hipsters in the house?
Oh, you think? Everybody's got a band, right? Hey.
Speaking of which, we were just in Austin, so.
Yeah.
That's Roberta's in a city.
What were you doing in Austin?
We were chilling.
There were two highlights, though. Can I just go straight to those?
I wish you would.
One was we went to a birthday party at a roller rink.
Yes.
And it turned out to be the night everyone was skating in their Halloween competitions, Halloween costumes. And because Brian and I looked so befuddled by it all, they asked us to be judges.
They basically came up to the two people who knew nobody, were standing there looking mm-hmm. like fools. Hey, you don't know anybody. Will you judge this for us?
Then the final Hello. Night that we were there.
That's a winner.
A friend in Austin said, oh, come out with me. We're going to Shitty Kitty Bingo. I thought, okay, well, great. You know, it's bingo hosted by a drag queen. But there are 6 winners during the night. And it's a gift bag that you get to pick once you've won.
A white elephant where you just
pick
it. Yeah,
and these had good prizes like an Apple TV and an iPad and stuff like that. But one of the bags had cat shit in it.
Actual cat shit.
So my friend Michael won the bag of cat shit. And at the end of the night, you have one shot at redemption where you have to go through.
If you're the one who picks it.
If you're the cat shit.
Yeah. If you win the cat shit and then you pass this shot at redemption, you get to pick any other bag. And Michael spelled ambidextrous correctly. And it was the first time anyone had ever gotten it right because apparently everyone's so drunk they can't even spell. So Michael won a bag of cat shit, and that was a highlight of my life.
Will you be recreating Shitty Kitty Bingo at any of the big gay ice cream stores?
No,
I can't go into it. Brian, don't. Just don't.
No, because the first 15 comments will be ice cream flavor.
Oh, my God.
Love.
The worst day ever in big gay ice cream history was at our East Village store.
We're going to tell a very special story.
This is a very special episode of Big Gay Ice Cream Truck.
I want all of you to... Record.
Seriously, this is so—it's really, really upsetting. Honestly,
get out your tissues.
We were in the store and we looked out the window and saw a little crowd building, and everyone had a very, very grim look. And it turned out that a puppy had gone out a window in the next building and hit the street
off the 5th floor.
And we had to. Everyone was crying. I emptied out a box of chocolate dip, and we put this little guy in there. And
nobody knew whose it was until they called the number on the...
and they were having a party upstairs and blah, blah, blah. And I made milkshakes for the construction workers across the street because they'd heard it hit. I mentioned this on my own personal Facebook page, and somebody said, ha, sounds like an idea for a new topping. And that's we can't post.
Ouch.
We can't go anywhere and do anything without people saying new ice cream flavor. I got new shoes. Hey, sounds like a new ice cream. Oh my God.
You know,
but the dead dog one was the end of me tolerating it.
Well,
I'm a very big bitch.
Well, that's
I'm talking about you,
story.
Harry Searing.
I have to say you took me down a dark road there, guys.
You know, let's talk about kitties now.
Let's bring you back. Yeah, let's bring us back. Let's bring everybody back because that probably took.
That really. There was a lot of clicking off going on. Yeah. Then.
You scared me a little bit. Tell me about the future. What
am I, Criswell?
What, Well, you've got lots of things going on. You do have the TV opportunity, right?
Oh, who knows?
No, not really.
No. Every so often, somebody will come to us and say, "You guys are funny. We want to make you into a show," and we'll
give them our concept, and then they'll say, "Hey, let's turn it into
a competition show."
Yeah.
Right.
Screw it.
So, and like I said, this is not a goal for us.
If it helps
promote the brand,
right?
And well, is well, a good show.
Well, but yes. You're gonna open up stores. Where is the location you feel is the next like really great, you know, growth spot for Big Gay Ice?
Well, I mean, we've already proven LA has already proven itself for us. You know, yeah. The trucks out there were great, but we need one more store in New York too, I think.
So the future holds a revamp of our catering and truck business. It is temporarily off the street, and mm-hmm. it will be reborn next year. And we will be coming out with a whole tiered catering structure that is a fun experience mm-hmm. On all fronts
right.
and at all price points.
Not all price points. Nothing real cheap.
Now you know what, you're a businessman now, look at mm-hmm.
you know what, it's not,
I know how much it costs to make a cone, and I know how much you know charge for
it's
a party.
it's less to do with that and more to do with time is money, you know, and that's more of it for me. Right,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
that's
babe.
It.
That's exactly right,
because I love doing the ice cream truck. I love being on it. It's I'll do it.
But you don't station it in New York anymore, right?
No.
You don't have a stationary spot.
I mean, I think what I want to do now is we'll have somebody to work on trucks when we have them for catering jobs, but I want to do, you know, I want to go to Seattle for a week.
Right.
And
we love doing pop-ups in other cities.
Speaking of pop-ups, I have not had him on yet, but I promise the listeners that I will. But John Mayer from Superfly, who has put his heart and soul into trying to get the Googa Mooga Food Festival, into the culture of New York. And he's had two tough experiences with it. You guys have been a huge part of it, though, part of its popularity.
A part of what? Googa Mooga?
Yeah, the idea that Googa Mooga can have a life. Did you see that coming? Did you see that as a big jumping off point for your popularity?
Googa Mooga?
Yeah.
The first year, I think it was very helpful for our business.
The first year, we were part of their big PR push.
Like us and Eddie and Tom and
April Bloomfield, you know, and we were really, first of all, they were doing long form ads with us in them, but just to be alongside that level
caliber of people,
great.
But you were the reason that
they could say this is going to be fun. You know, I thought it was a really great collaboration as an idea.
Well,
did it work out?
It was tough. I mean, you're bringing dairy, frozen dairy, into the middle of a park with no electricity and no refrigeration. So it was a Top Chef challenge,
yeah.
You know, and it wasn't something I would like to do again, but I learned from it for sure. I learned the limitations of product, the limitations of my sanity, and I learned how to adjust. I mean, so the next year when we did it, we had a much better product.
But you also learned, I mean, the classic lemonade out of a lemon was the birth of the Big Gay Dance Party. Right.
Yeah, but the second one,
the short-lived, the one and only.
Yeah, the first one with the drag queens. The second year we were going to do it, and we commissioned a 45-minute original video presentation that would be going on behind this thing, and
which was completed.
It's so amazing, you know. It's like clowns shooting people with ice cream and dancing go-go girls who then it's so screwed up, and then it got rained out, and the whole thing is. We're going to use it for something.
I was just going to say, it sounds like a Flaming Lips opening right?
Well, I should say it's...
Where is it?
It's living in our vault.
Why didn't you bring it?
It's a 15-gig file on my hard drive.
But it was made by your fellow Heritage Radio host, Darren Bresnitz.
Terrific.
Nicotine.
Yes.
Terrific.
You know, what I learned about food festivals from that was it's much more fun to go and do a demo.
Yeah.
Than to pay me to show, pay me to stand on stage and make a sauce.
Yeah. Well, look, you guys, you took chances and went out and turned out to be successful. I always want to give the guy credit.
Well,
that he's taken some chances. I think there have been a lot of people that have gotten, you know, have been dissatisfied as a result of being of participating in it, which frankly I've always blamed them for.
Well, you know? I only know my experience with it.
Yep.
And for me it was another area of the business that I had no experience in, but I was willingly jumping into. So I was learning as I was going along. And so dealing with off-site events was not something either of us had any experience with. So.
I think one of the reasons it went fine for us also is that when something goes wrong, Brian and I tell people that it's going wrong and present to them why and how to fix it instead of just complaining to another colleague about it.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, guys, you know what?
Maybe I shouldn't have said all
too
that.
No, I wanted this is a forum to talk about the business and the things that work and don't work and the experiences that you've had. Because frankly, you're going to help other entrepreneurs out there.
That is a terrifying thought.
Well, maybe you'll help them run, but you'll help them.
Yeah. I don't think we love something or one component so much that we can't let it go if it's not working. Mm-hmm. We very easily say, you know what, it's not working, get it out of here.
You're breaking up with me, aren't you?
So, I mean, the business is going to exist, and that's what we're going to strive for, but components like a truck or a particular flavor or whatever it may be, we don't love it so much that we can't look at it objectively. I do have concerns that perhaps Superfly needs to be a little more objective and looking at their event. I don't want it to turn into their windmill. But I think that...
That was a Don Quixote reference, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Huh, it took me a second.
Well, you climbed right on board there.
But, we've always been nimble, I guess you could say.
So, Doug, one last question.
Yes, Phil.
Is too much of a good thing too much?
Yes.
The next morning.
All right, because that's the cue. We have to stop now because I don't want to overdose the audience on all of this great stuff.
Your triglycerides are skyrocketing, audience. Stop
eating.
I would
love to have you back after the next phase of Big Gay
Liar.
Ice Cream engages. I am not a liar. I am not a liar. I'd love to have you back. I hope you enjoyed Brian and Doug. The history of the business and where the business is now, what they think about public relations, what they think about doing food demos, how they empathize when tragedy strikes outside of their buildings.
How we won't tell you why we think next year is going to be the biggest year of the company so far.
There you go. Next year, 2014, you mean?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, that means people should
stay. Yeah, what do you live in the future or something, Phil? Jesus.
Well, you know, you guys, you never know. Your calendar is different than other people's calendars sometimes. But it's been a great pleasure having you on. Thank you for coming out to Bushwick.
How much is this going to cost us, by the way?
We're going to go out and have a little and have a beer and a little pizza.
So you enjoyed it?
Thank you to Roberta's. I had a good time.
I'm glad somebody had fun.
Doug, Quint, go get your own show. Come back next time. Guys, this is Phil Colicchio. We're wrapping up the business of the business on the Heritage Radio Network. We'll see you next Wednesday when we'll have some guests who won't make you laugh and cry in the same 15 minutes. See you again. Bye, guys. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.